Hallelujah.
God for who he is. Please take a seat as we turn for a moment to be still in his presence, to listen to his voice before we praise him again in song. We're going to read this morning from Luke chapter 24 and Luke's account of that early morning, that resurrection with the life coming back to Christ and his followers, trying to make sense out of what to them was all loss. You may struggle with the idea that dead men come back to life. You're meant to. It's meant to be different. It's meant to be unusual. And even Jesus' own followers really, really struggled to believe this. The whole point is this is unusual, that God has done something unique here for humanity. So we read, and then we'll pray. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Amen, brother. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 disciples, and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But, this is a terrible but they did not believe the women. They didn't. Because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself, what had happened? Talk about slow on the uptake. Wondering what had happened. Amen. This is God's word. May he bless it to us today. We're going to pray in a moment, and then after the prayer we have our collection. That's part of our worship. If you're a guest here today, don't feel any obligation to contribute, but you're more than welcome to. And then we'll sing again. There'll be no hope-filled kids today. The children stay in as part of this worship today on Resurrection Sunday. So we're going to join together in a moment to pray the Lord's Prayer as well, because that's the words that Jesus taught us, and it's words that may be familiar to many of us here. But let me begin in prayer, pray for a few different situations, and then we'll join together in the Lord's Prayer. And we'll use the words, forgive us our debts, just because there's two different versions of the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that in that first Sunday morning of the resurrection, the people that had lost you, who had loved you, who were grieving for your death, they got to speak to you again. That is amazing. Death was defeated. And this morning, Lord Jesus Christ, we're not talking about somebody called Jesus from history. We're talking to you. We've come here not to just learn or even remember or show our respects, but to encounter you. That every Sunday morning, that this is worship, coming into the presence of the living God, revealed through Jesus. May each one of us have that experience of knowing you. We praise you, Lord, for your love and your mercy, that because you died, we died to the power that's so hostile, corrosive, and corrupting in our lives, the power called sin. And because of your resurrection, we don't only die, but we rise to a new life, a spiritual rebirth now that is possible, conversion. And that the intensity, the pulse of life will be so great that even one day our physical death will not be able to stop the life that you have put into our souls. And so we thank you that you're calling us to a hope that's everlasting. And so, Lord, we pray for this world around us that needs that hope. We pray for families that need that hope, for marriages that need that hope, for individuals who need that hope. Even some known to us, you know, facing illness, we ask for healing, we ask for strength. We know there's some folks in the service right now who have got illness in their body. And we ask, Lord Jesus Christ, for your mighty hand of compassion to touch their lives and to bring healing, to bring strength. We ask for your hand to bring the deeper healing for some, perhaps our eyes are closed, we just still don't get it. Would you be gracious, Lord, and touch the eyes of our understanding that we'd want even to begin to get it. So, Lord Jesus, draw near to us as we celebrate life today. And thank you, Lord, that you have come to reveal God the Father to us. And in doing so, you even taught us how to pray. So hear us, Lord, as we pray these familiar words together, but we want to mean every single word. And as we pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and evermore. Amen. Praise God. Let's continue our worship. Give out of the generosity of your hearts, and then give of your heart in song and in praise before our God. Thank you.
stand. Forever he's risen, he is alive. In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes, to fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory,
to a cradle in the dirt.
We're singing to the Father.
Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Spirit. Three in one. God of glory. Majesty. Praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint, by His blood and in His name.
Father, this is such an incredible day, and we praise you for this plan, the purpose and intentional bringing Jesus Christ to this earth so that in his death, his burial and resurrection, as priest, he permits it to where we can come to you, our sins erased and removed when we believe in you as our Father. The mediator who stands between us and our Father. The one who gives us the righteousness. And all this, Lord, with a purpose, so that we could forever be with you in paradise, just as the thief. And in your name, right, God, we just ask that this would be a moment in time that defines a transformation of our lives. Those of us who know you, that this would be an Easter to be remembered. Those who are still wondering more about you, that this would be a moment in time where you minister and pierce their heart, where they would surrender. We ask that Pastor, in boldness and confidence, would preach your word today, and that we would be moved and stirred to act. In your precious name, Father.
Take a seat.
Please be seated.
Let's take ourselves back then to that first early morning, the resurrection of Jesus. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. I don't know what you do to remember things. Are you a post-it kind of person that has post-its all over the place? Or can you perhaps even remember a time when you really forgot something important that you should have remembered? I can't even tell you about that time when I forgot something with the kids because my wife is here and she'll kill me if she finds out about it now. But you can forget the most important things sometimes in life, and it can be a real struggle to remember. And so what we're doing when we put a date in the calendar, like Resurrection Sunday and Holy Week, is to remember. But as we'll see through this passage, God wants to do something more than a passive remembrance, but something that's very active, dynamic, encountering, changing. And you see that with these people who went to see Jesus. So I'm going to ask if the slide can go up for the message, and you'll see there, there's a danger in life when you have the wrong expectations. And you see that with the people that first came looking for the body of Jesus. But then you can see where forgetfulness leads you, but also where remembering in an active and the right way can lead you. And I think we'll learn all of these things from this passage. Go back to that moment. Here's a group of people who were blinded by their expectations of what they thought was going to happen. You know how it's like in life. If you've already convinced yourself what's going to happen, that's what you expect. That's what you look for. It's almost what you see sometimes. And that's what happened for these people. And you got to remember that as you read this story, as we watch it happening again, remember, you know more than they knew on that morning. This group of women that went to the tomb to show the respects to the body of Jesus, they weren't going expecting him to be alive. They really thought he was still dead. And after 2,000 years of telling this story, we're so familiar with it that we just forget for a moment. Would we have been any different? If you were there, would you have gone expecting a risen Jesus? No, you'd have gone expecting a corpse. You really would have thought, he's dead. Game over. That's it. All we can do is kind of show our respects and grieve. And this is despite the fact that during his lifetime, and we've been looking at this over the last few weeks, three times Jesus had told his followers, I am going to be put on trial. I am going to be found guilty. I'm going to be put to death. And I'm going to rise again. Three times he told his followers that. Yet despite the warnings, because the power of expectation is so great in life, you can completely fail to remember the important things. And they fail to remember that Jesus had said what he said. And even when the angel speaks to them, what does the angel say? Remember, he's already told you this is all going to happen. But you see, that's the power of expectation, isn't it, in life? If you have expectations like that, that could be the wrong expectations. If you are, for example, you've got a call to, you're picking up some friends, some family coming to visit you here in Tampa, and you go down to the airport. And let's say it won't be friends or family for this illustration. It'll have to be somebody you haven't seen before, but you're to pick them up, business or something like that. And you don't really know what they look like. Maybe you got an expectation, and there could be crowds of people coming through the terminal. And you almost miss them because you expected them to look a certain way. Maybe you'd spoken to them on the phone. And you know what it's like. You hear a voice on the phone. You have an expectation of what the person looks like. And then when you see them in reality, they're entirely different and you get shocked. And it maybe it's like that. See, that's the power of expectations. If you don't expect something, you don't kind of see something. Every husband here will know that reality. When you're told by your wife to go into the kitchen and that thing that she's looking for, it's on that shelf, and go and get it, and you open the cupboard, and you're convinced it's somewhere else in the house, and you look at it, and it's not there. And you turn right, it's not there. And of course, you know what happens next. She comes along, and she opens it up, and she puts her hand straight in and pulls it out, because it was there. But you had your expectations, so you were blinded. We're always like that. So expectations can blind you. And so it was with these people as they came to look for Jesus. And in life, you're going to find the same. When we're dealing on a day like today about stories of dead men rising from the dead, we're clearly challenging people to think about the supernatural, the reality and the existence of God, to really step outside of your view of the world and step inside the Christian view of the world and have a look at it from there and see if it actually makes more sense than your view of the world. And as you do that, this reminds us of the challenge of overcoming our expectations. Because if you have the wrong expectations in life, it can make it really hard for you to see what's actually happening right in front of your nose, of people's lives being changed, of the reality of God, of His work in your life, all of these things. And very often when God wants to get our attention, because we've got our expectations, maybe your expectation is, well, if there's a God, he's going to be a million miles away from my life. Or maybe there isn't a God at all. These are all expectations that can really put blinders, make it hard for us to see God in our lives. As believers, we do that all the time. You have your expectations of what God will or will not do. And sometimes it can blind you to the most amazing moments, make you slow to see what God is actually doing. These women believed. They were believers. But yet they were slow to see what was really happening. In fact, it'll lead you to being confused. And that's what happened there. It tells us that all of these things were confusing them to some degree. So if you have these expectations, you can become a bit blinded to what God is ready to do in your life. So the challenge of this story is really saying to us, park them to the side. Be open to maybe there are more things going on in this world than you've figured out to date. And then maybe you'll begin to discover what God is doing. But for these women, it wasn't just their expectations by themselves. They were based on the past, after all. They had seen Jesus die. They knew he was buried in that tomb over there. Those were facts. But they were now being limited to the past rather than remembering his promises. He said 3 times that he would come to life again. 3 times. And here's the first part of what he said. I will die. Well, that happened. I will be buried. Yeah, that happened. Tick. So why not tick the next box? And he will be alive from the dead. What does that say about human nature? What does that say about us? God doing miracles, pulling off spiritual fireworks displays here, and we still don't get it. Because there's something wrong with us. Not because there's something wrong with God. And here they were quite literally blinded by their past experience. So they couldn't grasp hold of the promises. Don't make that mistake. Maybe you've had a negative experience of God or religion in the past, or church. But don't let your past limit you to receiving the promise that is today. That there is a newness of life. We actually can become like a new person, a new creation, because the significance of the resurrection of Jesus is that connected to people. Because you die in him, you rise again in him. There's a spiritual transformation pictured here and released because of what happened here 2,000 years ago. So don't be limited by any past experiences. Open yourself up now to the promises of God. Listen, pray, ask. Even if you're not sure God exists, but you actually are intrigued. It's very simple, then pray. Say, God, I don't even know if I'm speaking to anybody here right now, but if you do exist, I really, really need you to show me that you're real. That is not a hard prayer for God to answer, believe me. For many people in this building, you've had that prayer answered all kinds of different ways. It'll be between you and God how he answers that, because it'll be appropriate for you. So the expectations, we can be blinded by our expectations. And if that's the case, then you end up, like these women, taking wrong steps. They were going in the wrong direction, in a sense. They were taking thinking in the wrong way. Because they had forgotten what Jesus had said. Because they had forgotten what he had said, because they failed to remember what he had said, why were they going there? Why were they going to that tomb? Just because of a memory. Just because of what had happened in the past. They'd loved this Jesus. They'd spent 3 years or so with him. And that memory was precious to them. Jesus meant so much to them. And that was their reason for going. They weren't going to have an encounter with him. Should have been. He told them, going to be alive. But they didn't believe. They didn't remember. You see, it's good to have good memories, even about religious things. It's not enough. Maybe some of you had very positive experiences of church when you were a kid. Maybe you even felt closer to God when you were a kid than you've ever done in your adulthood. It's not enough. Where are you now? God has an encounter for you today. So they came with their memories. They came, obviously, with the respects. That was part of it. Jesus was so significant. That's obvious 2,000 years later. He's changed human history in so many ways. But they wanted to show the respects. That's where the spice was being brought. Roll away the stone, get to the body, put the spice on. They hadn't had time to do all that before. That would be a sign of their love and their respect being shown to the corpse. Well, if our expectations aren't right, we might do things. You might even come to church today, and it might even be with a memory from childhood, and it might even be with a respect for the things of God. But he wants you to have an encounter. So it's not enough. It's not enough to come even respectfully, respecting the traditions, respecting the faith of that you were once brought up with. That's all good, but there's more. You see it? There's more. They got a lot more than they bargained for that day, didn't they? Instead, because of these misdirected expectations, they came focused not on a possibility, the hope of an encounter, they came only focused on the hurdles. Now, Luke didn't record it for us, but our little video recorded it from Mark's account of the resurrection, that the women were actually having a discussion. Because this was a huge rounded stone that we rolled over these cave entrances, and they said, we're just not going to be able to move this thing. We need somebody. Who's going to move the stone? They were more focused upon the hurdles, the barriers in their path, in their way, at that moment in their life, than they were on the possibility of an encounter with the risen Christ. Why? Because they had forgotten. They failed to remember what he'd said. That stone would be rolled away because he would no longer be there, and the world needed to see that he wasn't there. So the stone was gone. But how easy it is to do that today. You come for a moment, come to pay respects. You've come with memories of an upbringing where all of this was maybe even more fresh and more real to you years ago than it is in your present life. And you're more focused upon the hurdles and the problems of your life. For some of you, you're even struggling to listen to the guy at the front because you're so preoccupied with what tomorrow is bringing. Amen? And some of you have probably got massive issues to deal with. To use the picture, even more immovable than a stone over a tomb. I tell you, my friends, if that stone could move, a stone like that moved even once in history, you know there's a God. You know that there's a power greater and bigger than you are. And you need to begin to see your little problems and your little hurdles in that bigger perspective, because compared to the existence of God, our issues really are minute. That's not to underplay the pain or the trouble off them for 1 second, but it's just to put them into perspective. Amen? So whatever you're facing in your life, look at that stone. Don't focus on it. Look at the fact that it moved. So whatever your hurdles that seem so immovable today, clearly, because of what happened then, God is saying to you now, there's nothing, nothing beyond my power. Because even the stone that covers death, that can be moved away. Even if you're contemplating your own death, even if you're facing your own death, this is the joy of this morning, isn't it? This is why we celebrate. Because death couldn't hold him. That means death isn't going to hold you. If you connect to this Jesus, if you have this encounter with the risen Christ today, when your day comes that you die and you must leave this world, you will do so free from fear. Because you've had the encounter today with this Jesus. So that's all coming together here. Don't focus on the hurdles, or you'll just go away like these women were. It tells you there, I think it was in verse 4, they were just confused with what was happening. Didn't expect to see the power of God. Despite the fact that Jesus had left all these sticky notes in the fridge saying, I will be back. But despite all that, despite these beings, angels, we believe, present there, it tells us that they were just wondering about all of this, confused, trying to make sense of why is the stone not there? Where's the body gone? What's happened? You'd think at that point they might remember that Jesus had told them this was all going to happen. But that says a lot about us as human beings. Will it change that day for them? May it change for you this morning. Because Christ is here speaking to you this morning. Because he loves you. And he's calling you to have this encounter just as real, just as personal as it was for these women. Nothing less will do. Nothing less will satisfy your heart. We can answer all your intellectual questions about resurrection and God's existence, but that won't be enough to change you. Your heart must have a personal encounter with the risen Christ. And then it begins to make sense. So maybe if you had the wrong expectations, you haven't had that yet, and that's why. So how do you get onto the right direction, the right path? Well, you see it with these women because something happens. Do you ever get people that in life you just want to give up on them sometimes? They frustrate you so much. They get to you so much. You just, forget it. I want to walk away. So all our relationships in life can do that. Your boss at work, whoever it is, and you just want to throw in the towel and walk away. You sometimes, with people, they're so stubborn, you just want to give up on them, yeah? That's normal. Maybe we'll be tempted to think, project that onto God this morning. But what do you see here? There they are. The stone's moved away. There's no body there. Come on, remember. He told you this would happen. No? Okay, here's two angels that appear now. Listen to them. You see, God did not give up on them despite their confusion, despite their slowness to pick up on it. He persisted. He sent them another messenger. And it tells us here, two men gleaming like lightning. The women are afraid. They're bowing down. They speak to the women. He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. Remember. See, that was the love and the mercy of God. He just did not give up on them despite the fact that they're so slow to get it. Will you listen? Because God is sending you a message right now. He is. He's speaking to you right now. Your heart will understand it because it has the ring of truth in it. Listen. He's not giving up on you, at least not yet. This morning's another opportunity. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Because one day the opportunities will stop. But not this morning. Not right now. You can have an encounter with the risen Christ. How did that happen? Because suddenly then the women remembered. Verse 8, they remembered. You see, the truth hits. We've got it. Yeah. See, truth has a power, doesn't it? Truth speaks to us. If somebody says, I love you, it can change your life. Somebody says to you, I do, and they marry you, changes your life. Truth, when it hits, when people speak words and it comes into your soul. And suddenly these women heard these words and they knew it was true. Now, as you read it in that verse, did they meet Jesus at that point? Not quite. The other accounts give different angles and suggest that one or more of them did round about this moment. But then they remembered his words. And that is telling you that at that point they believed that Jesus was actually alive again. Amazing. And then what happens? They became, verse 9, eyewitnesses. You see, when the truth of God hits you, it's not the end. It's so that you are now impulsed, pushed out into this world to share this encounter with other people. Because suddenly you become the bearer of the greatest message in human history. God does not want you to keep that to yourself, my friend. You will discover your greatest purpose in life is to share that with others. And so these women became the first eyewitnesses and proclaimers of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, there's a little line there that we can remember for those of you who might have questions, natural, understandable questions about, is this real history? Because you've got to answer that before you commit to something like Christianity. You really have to do your homework. It's a detail that it was the women who were eyewitnesses. That's interesting because women were mocked, as we saw later. They weren't listened to. They didn't have any legal standing in the courts that their eyewitness accounts could not be accepted as evidence in the courts. Why on earth would you invent a lie and then make four women the first eyewitnesses? That's a really dumb way to spread a lie. It's a fact. I mean, if you're going to tell a lie, you at least get some guys there because they were acceptable eyewitnesses. So the only reason that the women are the eyewitnesses was because the women were the eyewitnesses. They were there. They saw that. And Mark and Luke and John and all the rest, they couldn't play around with that. Interestingly, Paul doesn't say much about the women being eyewitnesses because, you know, a few years later, he probably understood, yeah, guys, people have a problem with that. Okay? But it's a fact. And it's there because the facts were the facts were the facts. That's what they believed. So I just put that as a little aside. It's interesting. And even as they're going in the right direction, God hasn't given up on them. They're remembering them. The truth hits them. They become eyewitnesses. They've still got to deal with something. What have they got to deal with at the end of this? They've got to deal with other people's unbelief now. When you have an encounter with Christ and he changes your life, suddenly you're going to discover that other people still don't get it. And it tells us in verse 10 that they go to the followers of Jesus. Now remember these guys, so 11 of them, they had been with him for 3.5 years. They'd seen the miracles, heard the teaching, they knew him, they loved him, all of that. And it tells us they did not believe. Talk about being really slow on the uptake. They did not believe despite the fact that the women were telling them this, that the women, plural, more than one eyewitness, despite the fact that it was a multiplicity of witnesses, they did not believe it, despite the fact that they knew the character of these women. They'd been with them for 3.5 years. Have they ever lied to you before, guys? No. Well, why do you think they're lying to you now? Despite all of these things, they did not believe. What does that say to you about human nature? We're stubborn in our unbelief. Yet despite all that, and then even despite the fact, where is it, verse 12, despite the fact that even Peter, the head honcho, runs off to the tomb, at least he does that, he runs to the tomb, and he looks in, it's empty, sees the strips lying there by themselves that had bound the body of Jesus, and what does it tell us? That he goes away believing? Oh, no, no, that would be, oh, no. Wondering to himself, what on earth has happened? Oh, come on, Peter. What does it take? We actually know another disciple went with him, John. When he saw, he actually did believe. But that's all that these women had to keep putting up with. What does it say about the human heart? How slow, how hard we are to believe. Don't let that be true of anybody here today. And be prepared for it when you go out of there today. And you walk into Monday morning, and you're so full of the joys of being in church on Sunday morning and celebrating the resurrection, and you want to share that with somebody over coffee in the work, and they just laugh in your face. Oh, you believe those fairy stories? Come on. Be prepared. But persevere. Because they too must have an encounter with this risen Jesus if they too will be able to face their death fearlessly. With freedom. So what you see here is there comes a day for these followers of Jesus when it all lines up and suddenly they get it. And they did. Later that day they got it. But is this the day for you where it's all beginning to line up? That you're not here just out of respect, not just because of a memory from your childhood, but because you're now hearing the ring of truth and you're responding to it. And in this moment, you can have an encounter with the risen Christ right now. Then it all lines up. You get it. That's what you need. Every one of us, we need that when it all finally lines up. So if you really want to know what Easter is about, what Resurrection Sunday is all about, ask him now for this encounter, that you might know truly that God is God, Christ is alive, and he bled and he died and he rose again for your forgiveness and your freedom. That's why we're here today, and that's our joy. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we are here, Lord, maybe for all kinds of reasons, but we want to be like the women and even like the disciples were by the end of the day. We want that personal encounter with the truth of God. So, Lord, we pray that we'll look into this, we'll examine, we'll wrestle, and we'll listen. And we'll begin to discern what you're doing in our lives and begin to hear your Spirit speaking to our hearts even right now. And we pray that for anybody who's never met you before, who's never had that encounter with the reality of God in Christ, that they might have that now. Lord, speak to each one of us now. Meet with each one of us afresh. We know you, we love you, or we need to come to know you and love you. But may all of us go out that door in the company of Jesus of Nazareth, utterly alive to his living reality. Hear us, we pray, and we ask it for your glory amongst us. Amen. Shall we worship him? Shall we praise him? Shall we surrender to him? And shall we leave this place filled with the joy that Christ is alive forevermore? Let's stand and sing to his praise.
No place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began. Ash was redeemed. Given a name, my morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance, when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life.
Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with life in his hand. When death was arrested, life began. Oh, your grace so free washes all.
My friends, I hope you can leave this place either rejoicing or beginning to believe that you can really rejoice in this reality of the risen and living Jesus. Will you go with his blessing in your heart and your life? Receive these words. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And the people of the Lord said, Amen. Go in peace.